And peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to be using two little video clips in the sermon today. And so while we're preaching, we want to be lifting up a prayer for Marie and for Dick up there and for our 80-year-old computer that we run our audio visual off of. It's really kind of handy. Mr. Watson himself installed that computer up there. It's got a little hand crank on it. It's worked pretty good so far, but you know, at some point, I think we have to break down and get a new computer for our sanctuary in here. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy. It's new to us every morning. Father, we thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you, Father, that not only did you give us this gift of faith, but that you walk with us in this world, especially, Father, in those difficult times. And, Father, we thank you that you use us to help others in their difficult times. Father, I pray now for all of us who are gathered here that your word and your spirit would have their way in our hearts and in our minds. That even as we are fed at your son's table and we are nourished and nurtured in our faith, Father, that you would change us for time and for eternity. Father, don't let any of us leave the sanctuary the same as we entered, because if we do, then we were fighting against you. And we were resisting your work in our world. And so, Father, I pray that you would take us captive, that you would plant your word deep within our hearts and deep within our minds, so that it would blossom, it would flourish, it would bear the fruit that you desire for it to bear, that we would be blessed and that others around us would be blessed also. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's children, we all say, amen. Amen. We are starting our sermon series on resiliency. And as I mentioned, the sermon for today is about resiliency and gratitude and why gratitude is so important for resiliency. This past week, I got an email from Carl Waldorf. He is our police chief in Lake Forest. And in the email, he shared that this past week the police department of the city of Chicago has lost its third officer to suicide. And so Chief Waldorf was encouraging the entire police department to reach out to their chaplain and to their mental health worker, that we would be there for them to talk about anything that they would like to talk with. And Chief Waldorf did a great job of really helping people to set aside the stigmatisms about talking about difficult times that we all go through. And so today, as we begin this sermon series on resiliency, I want us to begin with a very clear understanding that all of us go through difficult times. I do, you do, and everybody we know does. Amen? And so how we go through this as Christians is something that's very important for us to consider. And today we're going to look at the importance of gratitude. And the first video clip that we're going to watch, there's the cue. The first video clip that we're going to watch is about why gratitude works. And in your worship bulletins, there's a little space there for sermon notes. We're going to have that on an ongoing basis. And so if you want to take some notes during the sermon, that's great, because I believe that God's going to speak to you through his word and that he's going to leave ideas with you and even give you courses of action for this coming week. And so in this little video, there are going to be three main ideas about why gratitude works. Let's watch this little short video now.
Lots of research recently has shown us that gratitude is highly associated with happiness and life satisfaction. And an interesting thing is to think about why this might be. Why does gratitude make us happier. And I think that there are really three reasons. And the first is that gratitude is associated with increased self-worth. So if I thank you for doing something for me, basically I'm acknowledging that you've incurred a cost for me, and that if you've incurred a cost for me, I must be worth something. So when our sense of self-worth goes up, our satisfaction with life tends to go up as well. Another reason that gratitude tends to make us happier is that it's a really social emotion. It might seem like kind of a hokey emotion, but actually it's really complex, and it tends to bond us to one another. When I express gratitude to you, you tend to feel more connected to me. And social connections are really the stuff of happiness. The more connected we feel to the people around us, the happier we tend to be. So since gratitude increases our social connections, it tends to also increase our happiness. The last thing is a little bit more complex. Basically, our brains are giant filters, and we can't possibly take all the information in that is coming at us. But when we're consciously practicing gratitude, we start to only take in the things, the information that is really a blessing. So when we start to habitually count our blessings, we start to not see the hassles that are coming at us. So the best way to illustrate this point is there's an interesting study in which researchers had grad students looking, playing Tetris again and again and again for hours at a time. And Tetris is that computer game that has square and rectangular shapes falling, and you have to fit them into a particular pattern. And what the researchers found is that the more grad students played this game, the more they saw those rectangular shapes in their everyday lives, in everything that they were doing. So they go to the grocery store and they'd see the rectangular shapes in the cereal boxes. Basically, this is how gratitude works as well. We consciously count our blessings in one arena, and we start to see them everywhere else.
All right, thank you. So the mental health workers have important thoughts to share about gratitude. Here's the thing that you and I need to understand about gratitude. God expects us to have an attitude of gratitude. God expects us to have an attitude of gratitude. There are hundreds of Bible verses that talk about this very fact. And as I was doing my research and preparing for this sermon, one of the things that I found that was kind of interesting is there was a survey that was done of the 100 most helpful Bible verses on gratitude. I'm not going to read them all for you this morning. If you'd like the list, I'll be happy to get that for you. I am going to read a couple, though, for you, because they're just really good, and they're really important for us to get our heads around. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Give thanks when you feel like it." No, it doesn't. No. What it says is, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In case you're wondering who you is, just look in the mirror. You'll find him. Psalm 118, verse 24. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You know, there's the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I've looked in the Greek, and I've looked in the Aramaic, and I'm here to tell you, there's no fruit of the Spirit called being a sourpuss. It's not there. I'm just going to say it. God expects us to have an attitude of gratitude. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the church in Ephesus, said this: "I do not cease to give thanks for you." Did he think they were perfect in every way? Did they do everything that he asked them to do? No. But yet he said, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I want to read one more for you. From Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and with awe. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God expects us to have an attitude of gratitude. But the simple truth of the matter is that we're not that good when it comes to gratitude. We're not that good about showing gratitude to others. We're not that good about receiving gratitude from others. You know, have you ever noticed that there are people who, when you say thank you to them, the way they respond is to say, no, no, thank you. No, thank you. And why do they say that? Because they can't accept you saying thank you to them, because if you're saying thank you to them, that means they did what? They did something for you. That's exactly right. God expects us to have an attitude of gratitude. And it shouldn't surprise us that we have a difficulty with being grateful. Because if you stop and think about it, this is how we fell into sin to begin with. Adam and Eve would, listen to me, Adam and Eve would never have fallen into sin if they would have just had an attitude of gratitude. Adam and Eve would have never fallen into sin if they just had an attitude of gratitude. Think about it. If they had had a grateful heart and a grateful mind towards God in heaven, when the devil shows up and says, you know, God just doesn't want you to have everything that he does. He just doesn't want you to be everything that he is. If Adam and Eve, listen to me now, if Adam and Eve had had an attitude of gratitude, if their mindset would have been, wow, thank you, God. You've given us all this amazing stuff through no effort of our own. Thank you so much. If that would have been their attitude when the devil showed up, it would have been a whole different story. Because when the devil showed up to tempt them, what would they have said if they'd had an attitude of gratitude? They would have said, get out of here. Are you crazy? We've got everything we need and so much more. You can go get lost. Listen to me. When you do not have an attitude of gratitude towards God, you open up your heart and your mind and your emotions and your memory and your words and your actions to be the playground of the devil. God expects us. He designed us. He created us anew by the power of the Holy Spirit through the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And part of that new creation, listen to me, is that you would have an attitude of gratitude. And that's why gratitude is such an important part of resiliency. Because if you're going through life, if you're giving thanks in all circumstances, you can make it through all circumstances. Give God a praise clap if you believe that this morning. In preparing for today's message, I did a little bit of research and I found out something that I just think is kind of cool and I want to share it with you. And that is that there are five times that the Bible tells us that Jesus gave thanks. You want to know what they are? I can stop now if you don't. I'll keep going. I think you're going to like it. So two of the times when Jesus gives thanks is in the feeding of the 3,000, the feeding of the 5,000. It's kind of plain, sort of just, you know, he's gotten the bread, he's gotten the fish, and he gives thanks for it. And then there's the other three times that Jesus gives thanks. And it's just so cool to look at it. Because in Matthew chapter 11, it tells us in Matthew chapter 11 that Jesus said, Father, I give you thanks. Right? There's his attitude of gratitude. Father, I give you thanks that you have revealed this not to the wise or to the learned, but to the children. And why is this so important, this attitude of gratitude that Jesus shows? What's so important about this? Well, to understand what's important about it, you got to understand where was Jesus standing when he says this. Now, this is worth writing down in your notes. He's standing in Galilee. Now, why is that important? Because if you can visualize the map of Israel, it's pretty simple. Even I can remember it. You have Judea in the south. You have Samaria in the middle. And up on the top, way on the top, you have this place called Galilee. And if you want to try and remember it spiritually, it's really simple to remember spiritually. Judea, down here at the bottom, Judea, that's where the uber serious Orthodox Jews lived. This is where the Jews who really took the Torah and the Word of God seriously, this is where they lived, in Judea. Then up above Judea, you had Samaria. And Samaria is kind of a mixed bag. It was sort of a mixed lot. It was kind of hit and miss in the relationship with God. And then up in the north, in this place called Galilee, you had the loose Jews. You had the ones who really didn't care what God's word said. These were the Hellenized Jews. These were the ones who did not walk according to the word of God by and large. And any Orthodox Jew who did live up there, their relatives who lived in Judea looked at them like their kind of distant cousins who live in Arkansas or Texas or something like that, right? And so it's kind of interesting because where does Jesus go to do his ministry? Are you with me? He doesn't go to Judea. He doesn't go to Samaria. He goes up to where? Up to Galilee. And so when Jesus says, Father, I thank you that you did not reveal your plan of salvation to the wise or to the learned, guess which part of the country he was talking about, right? Judea. I'm glad you didn't, I give you thanks, you did not reveal your plan of salvation to the wise or to learn, but you have revealed it to the children. And brothers and sisters, when we see Jesus' attitude of gratitude, we should give thanks. We should give thanks. Because Jesus is the good shepherd. He will go to the end of the nation to find those who have wandered the furthest. And in our relationship with his Father is not based upon our wisdom, our knowledge, or anything about us. It's upon his grace and his mercy and the fact that he found us, not the other way around. If you believe that to be true, give God a praise clap this morning. And then the second time that we see there that Jesus gives thanks that I want to talk about with you is when Lazarus is raised from the dead. And you can look it up, it's in Luke chapter 11. And it's just so powerful because when Jesus goes to raise Lazarus from the dead, it has this little verse in there and it says that Jesus gave thanks to his Father. He said, Father, I give you thanks because you have heard me. You've heard my prayer. And it's so powerful because when you look at the story of Lazarus, there's no prayer that's recorded there. And so one of two things happened. Either there was a prayer that was not recorded, or more likely what happened is that Jesus was just conversing with his Father silently in his heart. He was lifting up Lazarus. He's lifting up this situation to his Father in heaven. And he's giving his Father thanks before Lazarus is even raised from the dead. He's giving his Father thanks that he's heard his prayer. And here's the thing that's so cool, is that, do you know what Jesus is doing right now? You want to know? You ever wonder, what's Jesus doing today? Let me tell you, because the Bible tells us. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And what's he doing there, playing a little video game? No. No, Scripture tells us that he is interceding. That means he's praying for us. He's praying for us. Do you know what those words are? Do you know what they are? No, you don't. I don't either. But I know this, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that his prayer for Lazarus is his prayer for us today. That just like Lazarus, we would also overcome sin, death, and the devil through him. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? And the fifth and final time that Jesus gives thanks is when Jesus consecrates the elements in the Lord's Supper. And it's really something. Because when he consecrates the elements, it says that he took the bread and he gave thanks. And he took the wine and he gave thanks. And I already said he did this before in the feeding of the 3,000 and the feeding of the 5,000. But in the feeding of the 3,000 and the feeding of the 5,000, all he was doing was taking care of people's physical needs. He's going to give us something here in this meal that does so much more than take care of our physical needs. And this is why it's so important to attend a church that doesn't rob you of God's means of grace. Because what Jesus is going to do here for us is something to give thanks about. Jesus is going to give us in this meal his body and his blood, and he's going to give it to us for the forgiveness of our sins. And here's the amazing thing about Jesus giving thanks. He's not giving thanks because it's a blessing to him. He's giving thanks because it's a blessing to who? To you today. Jesus' attitude of gratitude is that when he foresaw in time and for history that you would be blessed through the Lord's Supper, he looked at you today sitting in this church and he gave thanks. And he gave thanks for both elements, for the bread and for the wine. And that's important to remember because there have been those over the course of church history that have denied one or the other to the church. Jesus gave thanks for both elements. He wants both elements to bless his people today. Amen? And think about what happens. It's Maundy Thursday. What's going to happen? Inside of 24 hours, Jesus is going to be whipped. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be lied about, spat upon, all sorts of horrible things. Jesus knows all of that is coming. But this is his attitude of gratitude. He gave thanks. In the liturgy, we refer to communion as the Eucharist. And sometimes we say, well, what does that mean? But Eucharist, that's just a Greek word. And guess what that Greek word means? To give thanks. See, that's what we're doing when we're coming to the Lord's table. We're celebrating the Eucharist. We're celebrating the giving thanks that is ours because of our relationship with the Father through the Son. Can we give God some thanks now and give him a praise clap for that today? Amen. We have a wonderful mission statement as a church that we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through doing three things: through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. You've heard the preaching, you've received the teaching, so now it's time to get on with what? Living our daily lives. That's exactly right. And here's what my hope for us as a church is, that we can take these four pillars of resiliency, and the first thing we're talking about is gratitude, that we can take these four pillars of resiliency and focus on what does God's word say about gratitude and grow in our attitude of gratitude, but then also be a blessing and help others grow in their attitude of gratitude. And I want to share something with you. It's not easy. It's not easy. Mondays are one of my favorite days of the week because on Mondays, I go out and I visit our sick and shut-in. And on Mondays, I bring my sermon for the coming Sunday with me. And I love it because when I'm with the sick and shut-in, I have an audience of just one. And there's nothing more honest than an audience of just one. Because when you have a big audience, you can sort of pick and choose. Who do you want to look at? Who's responding nicely to the sermon? And you sort of focus on them. But when it's an audience of just one, and you're looking them in the eyes, you can see, is this making sense? Is this material working? Am I connecting or not? And so Monday, I'm at one of our sick and shut-ins. And this member is in a very difficult place in life. She has a lot of medical difficulties, a lot of challenges. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's a person in this room that would want to trade places with her. And so I'm going over my sermon for today with this member. And I'm talking with her about you got to have an attitude of gratitude. And we talked about Jesus. We talked about the importance of giving thanks, that God wants us to give thanks. And this member, she said to me, she said, Pastor, you don't know what I go through. And what could I say? But the truth, you're right. I don't know what you go through. I said, I think that the way you make it through it is because of your faith. I said, and here's the other thing. I said, here's what you and I both don't know. You and I both don't know what Jesus went through. Because what Jesus went through was to bear the world's sins. What Jesus went through was to make it possible for us to have eternal life. What Jesus went through was to make it possible for our bodies to be raised imperishable, to be raised without any of the difficulties and challenges that we're going through. I said, and here's the thing that I want you to know. When I came into the nursing home today, I stopped at the front desk and I asked the lady there about you, about how you were doing. I inquired about you. And you know what she said? She said, she's doing amazing. And she's such an inspiration to everybody in this building. Because everybody who knows her is so amazed by how she's handling this. And so I said to our member, I said, I want you to know something. That your attitude of gratitude, how you are living out your faith in this nursing home, is being seen by others. And it's being a blessing to others. And I thank God for that. We're going to watch one last little video. It's just a 30-second video. We got it queued up. This is Madison Avenue's take on gratitude. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts and all of our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please let us rise. We're going to continue now with the confession of our faith in the words of the historic Nicene Creed. I believe in one God.